This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's 2nd January 2019. Happy New Year and thanks for joining us on The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng and together with me is Koo Soo Chuang. Chuang,
good
long
morning,
time no Jules. See. How
yeah,
have
man.
You been?
I've been fantastic. I think.
That's great.
So far.
So what have you been up to?
A bit of this, bit of that, you know, mainly that, if you know what I mean.
Very specific details. nothing more, nothing less from Chuang, right?
I spent the entire month in December in Penang and had a fantastic month because the weather was amazing. The weather kind of like dried up. There was no rainfall in the second half of the month and blue skies. You know, the birds were singing, the sky was blue.
Did you join in the queue for the best char kway teow in town?
Oh my God, I ate so much hawker food. It was unbelievable.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I tried queuing up for the Siam Road char kway teow, but the line was like 2 hours. So I said,
I thought you gave up on
I just totally gave up.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the Financial Times, Bloomberg, Reuters, CNBC, you know, those news wires?
Yep.
I didn't look at them.
Excellent. You have a glow about you that comes from not looking at financial news and financial papers.
Yeah. So I'm figuring because 2018 ended so badly in terms of the financial markets, I'm hoping that 2019 will be better, but my gut feel is probably not. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I haven't been looking at all those publications that you mentioned for the last year, so I'm feeling great. I'm not even looking at stock prices.
Yeah, it's a panacea for good, positive attitudes.
Okay, let's have a look at the lineup of what's going to talk about over the next hour. We're going to be taking a look at a few stories that we thought were interesting, starting with an apparent secret to keeping your financial resolutions.
Which never happens because people are just, they've got the discipline of a block of wood.
Well, apparently some people are making financial resolutions.
Do you ever make financial resolutions?
In America. Well, long-term ones, yes. Not on a yearly basis.
Okay, yeah. So at a guess, I'm just presuming to spend less, save more, and invest wisely, right?
You're such an oracle. Okay, tell us what's coming up next.
And then also the fact that the quickest route to happiness may be to do nothing. I don't know. So that's on the cards.
Okay, and we'll also be taking a look at New Year messages from the ex, the present, and the future PMs and the outlook for 2019. So stay tuned with us. You're here with us on The Morning Run with me, Julian Ng, and Koo Soo Chuang. And up next, Beginning to See the Light by Velvet Underground, BFM 89.9. 6:08 in the morning. This is The Morning Run on BFM. Julian and Chuang here, keeping you company till 10 a.m. Happy New Year. Welcome to the first working day of the year. I guess for many, they would still be on holiday. If you're listening to us, please, we'd like to hear from you. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, I'm sure many of you would have made resolutions for the new year. I haven't. Chuang, I'm sure you haven't as well.
I used to. Gave up.
You gave up, right?
Kind of gave up, yeah. Because I've got long-term resolutions, by and large, yeah.
Usually I can look at the resolutions for about a grand total of 1 day, and then I give up. Now, but for the 10th year running, the three most popular financial resolutions for 2019 are saving more, followed by paying down debt and spending less, according to a new report by Fidelity. So I guess if you had to make resolutions and if they had to be financials resolutions, this would be the top three on your head, right, Chuang?
Well, a bit of a qualifier, because I think this Fidelity survey was only based on about 2,500 people, but it's an American one. So it's
absolutely
essentially only Americans, right? But you would have to say that these kind of resolutions are more universal in nature because generally people want to pay down their debt and they want to save more, spend less. And I guess the fourth would be to invest more wisely, right? But I don't think you can do that anymore. And I know in terms of saving more cash, you have always been... the fact is that interest rates have been so low for so long, it doesn't make sense to save more cash because you're not getting a return versus inflation.
Yeah, I guess that also ties in with our levels of financial literacy because savings can mean a lot of things, can mean investing as well, right? But if you want to save and you want to just put money in a bank, earning very low interest rates, then you should keep the minimum amount that you need just to tie yourself through and then just invest the rest.
Yeah, time deposits or fixed deposits have a
3%
direct correlation to 2%. Financial literacy, right? I mean, not in the best meanings of the word, but...
correct.
Right? Because inflation is at a quantum several basis points higher than term deposits, fixed deposits. So you wouldn't really want to put your money in the FD, right?
Not too much. But it also correlates to, I guess, saving something is better than saving nothing. I mean, that's a start, you know, and it correlates to the other financial goal that people have, which is to spend less. And when you spend less, you've got more to save and therefore more to invest. And Chuang, I have been trying to exercise this rule in my life over the past year, actually, to have no spend days or no spend weeks. And you'd be surprised as to how much you can actually put aside if you just, you know, not spend on, try not to spend on a lot of stuff. But no, it's probably hard for you since you have a family to feed, right?
Yeah, but you know, I'm the primary guilty one within the family because I tend to I tend to splurge on, especially food, right? When you go out to restaurants and you tend to just order the hell out of the menu. But
you should try cooking.
So my wife is, she's from Penang, right? So enough said in terms of financial profligacy or otherwise. But you're right, Jules. When I analyze my credit card statement every month, amazing amount of money that I spend on food, man.
Just painful. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to look at the credit card bills. But talking about credit card, Chuang, if you don't pay off your credit card, it's also very, very expensive. And this other goal, which is, 48% of Americans want to save more and 15% want to spend less, but about 29% want to pay down their debt. And this comes up second in terms of financial goals. And, you know, if you rake up any kind of debt, the interest expense is very expensive.
Actually, you and I have had this discussion in the past many times, right? And there is a school of thought which says that because interest rates are so low, it kind of makes sense to gear up. Do you know what I mean? And to buy financial assets, not to buy, you know, useless stuff like iPhones or whatever, unless it makes money for you, right? But with interest rates going up, I'm not sure whether that's such a good mantra anymore. So it would make sense to pay down debt if interest rates are going up. And especially credit card debt, because credit card debt is 18 to 24%.
That's right. Yeah.
Depending on what kind of profile you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, 18 to 24%, it's better to avoid spending that than actually trying to invest your money, like raking up debt, trying to invest your money and earning like 6-7% out of that, right? Like paying off debt gives you a lot more returns than actually investing at a much lower return rate.
So if you had to summarize your personal financial resolution, I mean, okay, not necessarily for 2019, but over the long term, what would it be?
I'm trying to develop, like, you know, for my writing, you know, I write a financial blog, and I'm trying to develop this idea that actually financial goals are very much tied to your life goals, your personal goals. Yeah. And the more you're, I guess we'll talk about this in the next talk, why the quickest route to happiness may be to do nothing, right? That's what we're going to talk about next. But that has a very zen sort of financial aspect to it. Like the less you try to stress out about, the more you'll be financially free and financially free and independent as well.
So does that summarize your financial goal?
Yes. And I'm trying to develop that idea from a financial viewpoint. So stay tuned for that. And you're here with Julian and Chuang on the Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Two Steps Behind by Def Leppard, BFM 89.9. You're with Julian and Chuang. A big shout out to Tenny, who wrote in to say he wants to recover and get well. We hope you have a very healthful 2019, Tenny. And if you want to join us in the conversation, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, one of BBC's picks for 2018 best article is entitled "Why the Quickest Route to Happiness May Be to Do Nothing." And Chuang, psychological research shows that the harder we strive to be happy, the less likely we are to achieve that goal.
You know, when I see stories like this, this was written by someone from the UK, clearly, but you don't need to go any further than say any fishing village on the east coast of Malaysia. And you go in, even a small coffee shop in the deepest, darkest recesses of Pandan Jaya, and you look at those old fogies there, right? All they're doing every day is playing cards among themselves, chatting among themselves at coffee shops. And then you analyze their lifestyles. I mean, by and large, they don't do a lot.
Yeah.
They do the bare minimum to subsist, and then that's it. Versus the city folk who've gone in search of riches, right? And us folk generally are beset with hybrid pressure, stressed out lifestyles, no time for ourselves, even less time for our children. And then you ask yourself, which is the better antidote for, or the quickest route to happiness?
Yeah, and
right?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that really ties into the big questions that we have, right? Because we try to raise income levels for people. We try to raise employment for people. And we have different standards of what defines happiness. So the more you try to pursue a career, the less happy you become. Does that mean that we shouldn't? And how does it tie into our economic policy? Because in order to make people happy, we got to stress them out.
Yeah, and that's the $64 million question that governments all around the world are asking themselves and ourselves. I mean, we have, by and large, followed a Western model of capitalism and consumption. And typically, we want more Malaysians to be born every year to add into the workforce and to buy more stuff and to generate more productivity and to feed itself into the economic machine. And that's basically our objective, right? Versus a country like, say, for example, Bhutan, for example, which has a national happiness index, and they don't have a GDP index. They have a national happiness index. And they don't focus on creating machines and to have workers and factories and production lines. They focus on other things. I don't know which is happier, and I don't know whether we have that answered ourselves right now.
Yeah, and recently also we had a few movements over the last few years. Certain trends have been developing, for example, the freelance economy, the gig economy. Where you just work whenever you want to, just to give yourself a kind of stable income. But at the same time, you might not earn an obscene amount of money, but it gives you that happiness because you have more time. The other related movements, for example, the FIRE movement, you know, financial independence and retire early.
I saw that on YouTube, actually. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, so yeah. You try to work your ass off, like, in your 30s, right, and try to retire after your 30s and then just having enough money to do whatever you want to do after that. Similarly, you know, the minimalist movement, I guess a lot of this millennial, I know they have been getting a lot of bad press, you know, but they're onto something here because now they're all about experiences rather than material things.
Yeah, and I sometimes can't blame them. They've come out from the last 10, 20 years of just basically financial Armageddon. And the kind of people that we've had emerge from the cracks, like, you know, Donald Trump, and it would be very hard for them to be optimistic about the future if they were to buy into the existing system. And I can't blame them. I mean, I understand why Gen Ys and Gen Zs are the way they are, because they've had basically 10, 20 years of nonsense, right? And,
yeah, absolutely.
And to buy the experiences, I understand it. And that's why I think this freelance economy has really taken off. I mean, for example, I do have my own business, and I have had it for the last few years. I mean, my designer is this Moroccan, my designer, right? And my social media guy, he's this guy from Morocco. He's only about mid-25s or something. Very talented designer. He's been traveling for the last 4 years. Got this amazing, you know, lifestyle, right? And he never bought into this whole idea of, you know, you grow up, you graduate in finance or whatever, join a bank and get a salary for the rest of your life and get a mortgage and two cars and two children, you know, and retire at 50. He doesn't buy into that.
Absolutely. Simple life.
Simple life.
Well, tell us what you think by WhatsApping or tweeting us. And coming up next, we'll hear from the past, present and future PM. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Your Man by Leonard Cohen. You're with Julian and Chuang. We're going to talk to you till 10 a.m. this morning. Happy New Year. And in a New Year message, Dr. Mahathir is confident of achieving developed nation status if we worked harder. This is in contrast to the message given by ex-PM Najib, who warned of tougher times due to declining stock market foreign exchange reserves and slowing economic growth. Designate PM Anwar, meanwhile, warns of invisible hands out to sabotage the reform agenda desired by the people. What do you think of this, Chuang? Do you think that the three personalities are just paying lip service to this whole agenda of what it means to be developed?
Yeah, Yeah, past prime minister, present prime minister, and prime minister designate. It's very important to have some perspective, and unfortunately, this perspective doesn't apply to everybody in the country because, okay, the global situation has been what it is, right? We know what it is because Jules, you and I, you know, we're involved in the media, we read the news, and the fact that Malaysia is being buffeted by the global turbulence, it sometimes can be remiss to politicize these issues because, by and large, these issues are largely out of our control, right? For example, the declining ringgit, part of a larger malaise of emerging market assets being sold off. And it just sometimes shows the maturity of the politicians in the country that do like to politicize issues for their personal benefit or their party's benefit when there are larger contextual arguments to be made. And it should be constructive because the fact remains that Malaysia is a very small country, we're globalized in nature, and we're very export-driven. And we've got to work as a nation to pull together to get out of this, what will be a challenging 2019. So I think
Najib's
Najib's message should have a lot more context and perspective to it. Mahathir, for example, on the other hand, is 93 years old. He's very near the end of his life, and he's been through it all. He's been through ups and downs, global cycles and turbulence. And I think and I love the fact that he says, yes, times are bad, but times will be good in future. And this is very important.
I just feel that he is, however, using an old script, though, because this it developed is. Nation status and this call for people to work harder, you know, can be applied at any point in our history, and whoever is the prime minister can use that to say that. But it's very important to translate that into policy. And we've seen some of the sheen coming off the election promises, election euphoria, because many things have been unfulfilled and very disappointing about certain directions being made. For example, Patrick Ong sent in this article from the South China Morning Post, which asked the question of whether a new Malaysia can emerge while those power play an old game, right? And I think the gist of the article is that religious and racial issues are still being harped on. We've not really signed the ICERT, for example. That may mean nothing to a lot of people, but it just gives the feeling that the signals are not quite there.
Yeah, and again, I think some perspective is needed because, I mean, Malaysia is, what, how old? 60-odd years in existence, generally, since the colonial era. And we're still a very young country. I think it would be very difficult to imagine that Malaysia can transition to a 21st century mindset just overnight. And then look at America. America is the wealthiest country in the world. And they are beset with all kinds of issues. And some of them are very, well, A, parochial in nature, and B, quite antiquated as well. So Malaysia,
they have one big issue, Donald Trump.
They've got one big issue, Donald Trump, that plays up these sentiments.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, right? Do you think that the politicians have played to the public sentiment to use populism and get themselves voted in? So here we are in 2019 with no toll roads abolished, without a racial unity, a concrete racial unity agenda, and without a strong anti-corruption signals being sent out to us.
Well, and I know you're playing devil's advocate here, Jules.
No, but I personally feel that way, right?
Yeah,
Where are my election promises? I know it's just a short time, and you also highlighted validly that we're just 60 years old, but we're also in an age of tech. I saw a very interesting video yesterday about millennials. This is again in America, reviewing the Monopoly for Millennials game, right? Monopoly games for millennials.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah, it's really funny. It's a really funny video because instead of trying to buy up property, you know, the object of the game is to rake up experiences, right?
Let's play that game.
but you know, the millennials who went out there, they were very critical and they were very aware of what's going on. They were very conscious about the things that go on. And this is where this generation is being defined, right? They are being defined
by the old rules.
No, the new generation is being defined by more consciousness, more awareness, because of the kind of information that's coming out of the internet, and which makes this 60-year-old. I guess it's an excuse. It's not an excuse anymore because we have so much information.
Yeah.
We're so much smarter now.
Correct. And the Gen Ys and the Gen Zs, the millennials, are being judged on the old principles. But yeah, I mean, obviously 2019 will be a very interesting year for everybody concerned. So you just got to put our noses and look for no further.
Yep. We'll continue with this conversation. And if you want to join in, you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk about the issues that are going to affect us in 2019. BFM 89.9. That was Gene Genie by David Bowie, Chuang, and myself, Julian Ng, wishing you a very happy new year. And a shout out to Robert Lim, who asked the question of between the two of us, who's Laurel and who's Hardy? I think I'd rather ask the question of who's Laurel and who's Yanni, right? That's the more relevant question to ask.
I saw
who
that
do you
meme.
Hear? Who
I
do you saw, hear? Laurel or Yanni?
That Morgan Freeman one, right? Oh, he was questioning 2018's weirdness, right?
Yeah.
What of them was that?
I didn't get that. Morgan Freeman?
Morgan, there's this thing going around on WhatsApp that Morgan Freeman's looking back at 2018, and one of those things was this whole Laurel and Yanni
thing. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Robert Lim, I think you should start watching some newer comedies rather than Laurel and Hardy. But thank you. Thank you for tweeting
Thank you for tweeting him. Thanks, Rob. Cheers. We've had a whole ton load of messages come in on social media. WhatsApp, Twitter has been lit alight like a Christmas tree with the messages. Or not really. So I want to cite this one that came from Ong Cheng Pa. Came in at just a couple of minutes past 6 o'clock this morning. And I think it was in response to our discussion on happiness and what it means to be happy. So apparently Pope Francis had a homily, obviously on New Year's Eve, that's what he does, on the 31st of December every year. And to summarize the homily, the last couple of sentences was actually quite interesting from a happiness perspective. The Pope Francis said that you will find that to be happy is not to have a perfect life, but to use your tears to irrigate tolerance, use your losses to train patience, use your mistakes to sculpture serenity, use pain to plaster pressure, pleasure, not pressure. Use obstacles to open windows of intelligence. Never give up. Never give up on people who love you. Never give up on happiness. For life is an incredible show.
Wow, wise words.
Wise
indeed.
Words.
You know, yeah. I was in Rome. I went to a mass that was headed by the ex-pope.
Yeah. And really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was there 10 years ago, and it was a public mass that they have every Wednesday or something, if you want to catch that. It was really, I mean, even if you are not religious, right, and you go there, it's just the surrounding and the, the architecture and the choir, and it's just amazing.
Actually, I was in Rome as well, and I did go to the Sistine Chapel. I did attend a mass there as well. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely,
that's the
right?
one, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, right? When I saw the Vatican for the first time, I was blown away. And then it dawned upon me how lucrative and how wealthy religion can be.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, you got to start your own religious sector and start collecting offerings.
It's a centuries-old enterprise.
Yeah, but it does fulfill a purpose
because
you know, someone once said, religion is the opiate of the masses, right?
It is.
It helps with thinking about contemplation about life and meditation as well. Hannah, TY75, tell yourself it's okay to feel emotions other than happiness. I think that's something that I do want to look into. You know, it's not just a flow of dopamine all the time, not instant gratification all the time. You got to have other emotions as well.
Yeah, and I
sadness. Depression. Sometimes things wouldn't go your way, and that's the way of the Stoics, right? You gotta be honest about your feelings.
Yeah, and Mr. Tan at just about 20 to 7 this morning also came in to message us and said that with our higher and still growing population, it's a constant reality that we must work harder and harder as each generation goes by, just to survive and perhaps carve out some happiness in the process. Being less happy when we are slogging is not at all a loss either, because it makes happiness possible. Nobody can or should be happy all the time anyways, because that's insanity. And that made me think about this movie called Vanilla Sky. Do you remember Vanilla Sky?
I just watched it recently.
Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, right?
Yeah,
Tom Cruise,
mind-blowing.
That's right, right?
Yeah.
Right, and Tom Cruise told Cameron, well, the thing told Tom Cruise during the movie, the good is never as good without the bad. And that's so true.
Yep, absolutely. And also, we don't have time to read out all the tweets, but shout out to Michael as well as Victor Liu, who's a longtime listener. Happy New Year to you guys. 6:55 a.m. and coming up next, we'll look at the front pages of our major newspapers, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.